Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, Second Class, May 25th, 2025, Romans.
As we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of the Scriptures to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 8:15. We have exegeted so far, for you have absolutely not received again a life of slavery producing fear, the mental attitude sin of fear. And we were pulling this together. We noted, first of all, point one, the Apostle Paul has made clear back in Romans 6, verses 4 to 14, that the church age believer has entered into newness of life by virtue of his union with Jesus Christ. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where we are identified with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and identify with Christ in his resurrection, that's current positional truth. Point two, this newness of life in Christ Jesus is not designed by God to be a life of slavery to fear. Slavery to the mental attitude sin of fear. And Paul taught this very clearly in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, which says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of power and of love," virtue love, "and sound judgment." Point three, as you live the spiritual life by the grace and the power of God, you will not be frightened by anything in the world. As you live the spiritual life by the grace and the power of God, you will not be frightened by anything in the world. Four, assurance and confidence. See, the first characteristic we had in verse 14, divine guidance. The second characteristic, confidence. Divine guidance and confidence. Confidence in God, confidence in the Word of God. In your life, 24/7. So assurance and confidence are the characteristics of the believer living the spiritual life. Assurance and confidence are the characteristics of the believer living the spiritual life. Five, the believer living the spiritual life has maximum confidence in God and maximum confidence in the Word of God. And that means he's not afraid of anything. No fear, no mental attitude, sin, or fear. You have maximum confidence in God, maximum confidence in the Word of God. Six. In Romans 6, verse 15, the life of slavery is marriage to the sin nature. But we have been divorced from the sin nature through the baptism of the Spirit. At the moment of salvation, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So in Romans 6:15, the life of slavery is marriage to the sin nature. But we've been divorced from the sin nature. When we were unbelievers, yeah, we were slaves to sin nature. But now we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. Through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, we have been divorced from the sin nature. Now we're in union with Christ. Now we have a new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our life. So we've been divorced from the sin nature through baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth. Seven. The divorce has freed us from the life of slavery, pneuma dulia, the life of slavery, freed us from the mental attitude sin of fear. That divorce through retroactive positional truth at the moment of salvation, and now in union with Christ, newness of life, a new spiritual life in union with Jesus Christ, that freed us from the life of slavery, pneuma dulia, freed us from the mental attitude sin of fear. Eight, we have been set free so that we can live in newness of life. This fantastic spiritual life God has for us. He has the most fantastic, it's a supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit. So, at the moment of our faith in Jesus Christ, that moment of eternal salvation, we were all indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. We already had the sin nature, now the Holy Spirit indwells our body. And there is now a battle going on, a war in your body. Who's going to control your soul? Is it going to be the sin nature, or is it going to be God the Holy Spirit? But we've been given this universal indwelling of the Spirit as a base of operation for the filling of the Spirit, because this spiritual life, this newness of life God has for us is a supernatural life. Supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power. And that power comes from God the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God that you learn and believe and is in your heart. The Word of God is alive and powerful. So we have been set free so that we can live in newness of life. Nine. Now we have the freedom to live in newness of life and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ to the maximum. As you live this unique spiritual life, by the grace and power of God, as you advance to spiritual maturity, as you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ, you will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ to the maximum. You will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ to the maximum in the short time that you're here. In the short time you're here on this earth. And then, forever, absent from the body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have waiting for us a resurrection body, a great evaluation at the judgment seat of Christ following the rapture. And then with those crowns and rewards and decorations awarded at the judgment seat of Christ, they will be there and honor and glorify God for all eternity. 10. This is only accomplished by living the unique spiritual life of the church age, by the grace and power of God, advancing to spiritual maturity, and having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. This is only accomplished by living the unique spiritual life of the church age, by the grace and the power of God, attaining spiritual maturity, and having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. 11. Therefore, the mental attitude sin of fear is incompatible with God's plan and God's purpose for our life. Therefore, the mental attitude sin of fear is incompatible with God's amazing plan and will and purpose that He has for our life. 12. The mental attitude sin of fear is not a part of the spiritual life for you and me, royal family of God in the church age. The mental attitude sin of fear is not a part of the spiritual life for the royal family of God. In fact, it's never a part of the plan of God for any believer in any dispensation. 13. Fear and instability in the believer indicates that you have no spiritual life. It indicates that you're not filled or empowered by the Spirit. You're grieving the Spirit. You're quenching the Spirit. And we're given a command, a prohibition. Stop grieving the Spirit. Stop quenching the Spirit. So we're given that prohibition. We're commanded, keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Keep on walking by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. So the mental attitude sin of fear and instability in the believer indicates that you're not filled with the Spirit, that you have no spiritual life. So, corrected translation, for you have absolutely not received again a life of slavery producing fear, the mental attitude sin of fear. First of all, we have this wonderful result of divine guidance. And secondly, we have the result of confidence. Confidence in God, confidence in the Word of God. And when you have confidence in God and confidence in the Word of God, there's no mental attitude sin. You're not afraid of anything that's going on in the world, in America. You're not afraid. Now, there are several principles of fear that we ought to take a look at. First of all, fear is used in two ways, in a good way and in a bad way. But first of all, in a great way. First of all, fear is a Christian virtue. Fear is used positively in a good way. In a good way, fear is a Christian virtue. Fearing God. Now, I want you to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. So, first of all, in a very great way in the Bible, fear is a Christian virtue. A Christian virtue. 1 Peter chapter 2, let's start at verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority, to every authority instituted among men. This is the virtue of respect for authority. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should have maximum respect for authority. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men. Whether to the king, we don't have a king, we have a president. That would be President Trump. Virtue directed toward President Trump in respect for his authority as our president. Then this nation should have respect for authority of the president. It should be nationwide. But we are a nation in apostasy and degeneracy, and we have multitudes and multitudes who have no respect for authority in any way. No respect for authority in any form. No respect for the authority of the president. Whether to the president, the king, as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will. This is the will of God. It is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. That is, respect the authority of everyone who is in authority. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. That's impersonal love for all. And fear God. Honor the king. Fear God. See, here is fear. Fear God is fear used as a virtue. In this whole passage here, it's fear is used positively as a virtue. Show proper respect to everyone. Respect the authority of everyone who is in authority. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God, honor the king, honor the president. So that is virtue. That's respect for authority. So there's a positive way. Fear is used as a Christian virtue. Fear God. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17. Great passage. But you can see that in our nation, we are a nation in apostasy and degeneracy. And there are multitudes in this nation who have no respect for authority, no respect for the authority of the president, no respect for anyone in authority, no respect for the authority of the police officer. We are trying to get rid of the police department all over America, in states all over America. And we should have the greatest respect for those serving as police officers, law enforcement, and we should have total respect for anyone serving in the military. Anyone. Whenever you see someone in uniform, I hope you say to them, thank you for your service. I always thank you for your service. That is fear as a virtue. And there is also fear is a mental attitude sin. And that's in a bad way. And that is prohibited in the God-breathed scriptures. Turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, we'll start at verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And then verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Turn over to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10. So do not fear. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. That's not a part of the plan of God, the will of God, the purpose of God for you. Fear not, for I am with you. Now here's a principle. If you are afraid of anything, if you are afraid of anything, you're out of fellowship with God. You're out of fellowship with God. That's not the will of God. It's not the will of God for you to be afraid. It's the will of God for you not to be afraid of anything. Anything going on in the world, anything going on in America, anything going on in your health. You might have great health. You might have horrible health. But you shouldn't be afraid no matter what. If you have great health, you shouldn't be afraid of that. Unless somebody gives you something horrible to eat like carob. When I was at Dallas Seminary, we had a couple. They were doctrinal science. And they invited us over for dinner. And they had dessert. And the dessert was carob. You know what carob is? It sucks. It's supposed to be, it looks like chocolate. It looks like chocolate. It doesn't taste like chocolate. I won't tell you what it tastes like. They serve it. This is carob. This is healthy for you. When Deb and I are going home, whew, I'd rather die of bad health than eat that carob anymore. Huh? If I'm going to have chocolate. I'm going to have chocolate. Chocolate. Real chocolate. We went out to dinner, Sherry and Al. They said, how about dessert? And I looked, well, what do you got? Chocolate sundae. Yeah! Lots of chocolate in that chocolate sundae. Not carob. There was no carob there. Chocolate sundae. You might have bad health. Are you afraid of that? You might even be dying. You went to the doctor and you thought you were doing pretty well and did some tests and found out you have a disease and you have a short time to live. Are you afraid of dying? You shouldn't be. That should be a very exciting time in your life. Very exciting, because now you will be promoted. Promoted. Promotion. Absent from the body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. What an honor. How exciting is that going to be? We haven't seen the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. But if you die here and before the rapture, absent from the body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the best. That's the best of the best. And you're with Him for all eternity. So there's two phases of your life. There's the living phase of your life, and there's the dying phase of your life. You're here to glorify God in the living phase of your life, and you're here to glorify God in the dying phase of your life. And when you come to that dying phase, you're here to glorify God in the dying phase of your life. And I have seen dying grace, and it's in the lives of believers. It's absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And they glorified God when they were living, and they glorified God when they were dying. And in dying grace, you have that peace which transcends all human understanding. You share the happiness of God. You have absolute confidence that God is holding your hand. The Father's holding one hand, the Son's holding the other hand. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Fear no evil, for you are with me. Occupation with Christ. And sharing the happiness of God. I will fear no evil. And that's when you're in the dying phase. So if you are afraid of anything, you're out of fellowship with God. That's not God's plan for you. So point two. The mental attitude sin of fear and your spiritual life are mutually exclusive. The mental attitude sin of fear and your spiritual life are mutually exclusive. When you are living in the mental attitude sin of fear, that fear, that being afraid of whatever, means you're out of fellowship with God. You're out of fellowship with God. You have no spiritual life. Three. Fear sees a problem and falls apart. Fear sees a problem and falls apart. While faith sees the solution and keeps marching to glory. Fear sees the problem and falls apart, while faith sees the solution and keeps marching to glory. We have a phenomenal problem. problem-solving device called faith rest. And that means there are all of these magnificent promises that God has given. You know, in the Bible, there are 7,000 promises in the Bible. There is a book, by the way, out on all the promises of the Bible. Not on all the commands, but on the promise. And when you reach out by faith and claim that promise and believe it, now you rest in who and what God is. And then you've grown up. You've learned about the plan of God, the will of God, the essence of God. You know who and what God is. So you take a doctrinal rationale like the essence of God rationale or the plan of God rationale or the a fortiori rationale and you reach out by faith and you claim that. And then you come to the third part of faith rest. You come to the conclusion, if God is for you, who can be against you? And God is for you. If God is for you, who can be against you? And faith rest is just that. You rest in who and what God is. You rest in God, in the Word of God. Maximum confidence. You have maximum confidence in God, maximum confidence in the Word of God. Whether you're living, whether you're dying, whether you're in prosperity or whether you're totally destitute, it makes no difference. All right. Well, we'll pick it up at this point next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.